Wired Jesus Podcast.
We don't need
February 13, 2006. Creative Commons license.
Wired Jesus Podcast.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
Wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
My boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and I'm glad you've come along for our journey together.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces.
Is it just me? Or do things on the international scene make it seem like we're living in a mad world? Back in November, one of my friends recommended that I read The End of Faith, Religion, Terror, and the Future of Reason by Sam Harris. He thought it would make for a good podcast, a postmodern evaluation of the effect of religions and religious thought and action as we move into the 21st century. I had started before Christmas, but it didn't seem like the best read in January when I was taking a couple of air trips to Florida. Something a little more uplifting than a wide-open critique of world religions and their threat to the future of the human race seemed to make more sense, something a little lighter. So I grabbed Malcolm Gladwell's Blink off the shelf and read that. But strangely, the day before the cartoon controversy broke out, I picked The End of Faith back up, and it's a startling book to read. Harris pulls no punches when it comes to the influence and strange reasoning brought about by Christians in the name of Christian faith over the centuries, reasoning that has justified all kinds of violence and oppression in the name of the Prince of Peace. However, his reflections on Islam and its inability to not only understand the West, but the growing drive among many of its leaders to seek the West's destruction is nearly prophetic. Consider these quotes from the book. Men like Osama bin Laden actually believe what they say they believe. They believe the literal truth of the Quran. Why did 19 well-educated, middle-class men trade their lives in this world for the privilege of killing thousands of our neighbors? Because they believe they would go straight to paradise for doing so. It's rare to find the behavior of human beings so fully and satisfactorily explained. Why have we been reluctant to accept this explanation? I take it to be self-evident that ordinary people cannot be moved to burn genial old scholars alive for blaspheming the Quran or celebrate the violent deaths of their children unless they believe some improbable things about the nature of the universe. In our dialogue with the Muslim world, we are confronted by people who hold beliefs for which there is no rational justification and which therefore cannot even be discussed. Yet these are the very beliefs that underlie many of the demands they are likely to make upon us. What will we do if an Islamist regime, which grows dewy-eyed at the mere mention of paradise, ever acquires long-range nuclear weaponry. In such a situation, the only thing likely to ensure our survival may be a nuclear first strike of our own. Needless to say, this would be an unthinkable crime, as it would kill tens of millions of innocent civilians in a single day. But it may be the only course of action, given what Islamists believe. How would such an unconscionable act of self-defense be perceived by the rest of the world? It would likely be seen as the first incursion of a genocidal crusade. All this is perfectly insane, of course. I've just described a plausible scenario in which much of the world's population could be annihilated on account of religious ideas that belong on the same shelf with Batman, the Philosopher's Stone, and unicorns. That's what he wrote. Now, we've seen the cartoons. If you spend any time on the net, you've found them by now. And if you've watched the evening news or cruised the blogs, and you've seen the protest, and it's a lot like what Harris described 3 years ago. What we see in the press is a door opening up into the 14th century, and hordes of people no different from Christians who burned witches and believe the world is flat are pouring through demanding vengeance and global rule in the name of God. It's an uncomfortable book to read, and it's an uncomfortable thing to say. I've made a study of world religions over the years, and was introduced to Islam by a friend in college, a Blyden student named Nabil, who I coached in self-defense. I was an assistant instructor back in the day, and my task was to teach Nabil judo holds that he could respond to when touched. Most of the other martial arts that I knew, karate and kung fu, were, you know, you have to be able to see. But judo worked really well. And so we would have our hour-long sessions. But then when we were done after class, we would sit in a courtyard on the grass, and he would tell me about Saudi Arabia, his family, and Islam. And I would swap with stories of Florida, my family, and my growing sense of being called to be a Christian pastor. I never really understood, I don't think, until now, when he told me that back in Saudi Arabia, we could both be thrown in jail for those conversations on faith that we were having. It never really sunk in that my words would be considered trying to convert him to Christianity, and that the discussion itself could mean my death. And if he ever converted, it would mean he would be killed by his family. And my thought was, if it's such a problem, what was Nabil doing at a Lutheran liberal arts college in Ohio for education? The thing was, Nabil was right. I just didn't want to believe it at the time. Somehow the images of paradise, the strange rituals like running around the Kaaba, and the medieval attitudes just needed to be better understood, and that there had to be moderate Muslims like my friend to bring their faith into a more peaceful, multi-religious world of understanding. And for years, I thought that would be true. And there's part of me that still wishes that. However, the tolerant world of the university and the tolerant world of the West is beginning to fray. Harris puts it this way. He said, the problem that religious moderation poses for all of us is that it does not permit anything very critical to be said about religious literalism. We cannot say that fundamentalists are crazy because they are merely practicing their freedom of belief. Religious moderation is the product of secular knowledge and scriptural ignorance. By failing to live by the letter of the text, while tolerating the irrationality of those who do, religious moderates betray faith and reason equally. Published 2 years ago, and long on the New York Times bestseller list, commentators are now starting to echo Harris in blogs and in op-ed pieces in newspapers. Columnist Michelle Malkin has been very straightforward on her blog about the inconsistencies of many in the American press of being willing to mock Christian religion, while becoming very apologetic, saying to Muslims saying that in the name of tolerance, they will not show the cartoons of Muhammad, but they will show Kanye West as a nail-crowned or thorn-crowned Jesus on the cover of Rolling Stone. But she has posted the cartoons on her blog, as well as pictures of the protests in London by Muslims protesting with signs saying, "Europe, you will pay, your 911 is on the way," or "Behead those who insult Islam," or "This is a sign of the end for disbelievers." Her observation is most Christians typically wouldn't respond that way to Kanye West or other things. But there are others who have written opinions much like hers. My friend who recommended the book sent me an editorial from the Orlando Sentinel by Kathleen Parker. And she begins her article like this: "What if the world went up in a mushroom cloud over a cartoon, or because of a photograph of some reveler dressed up like a pig? Well, of course, that would be absurd, a comedy, a Clouseauian flick about a bumbling inspector, right? No, that would be a documentary about the end of civilization circa 2006, unless we come to our senses. The cartoon implosion now rocking the Muslim world, featuring embassy burnings, threats of 9/11 sequels, in the Arab street equivalent of the terrible twos, is based on equal parts fake photographs and a default riot mode looking for an excuse. Extreme propaganda on one side and a lack of fortitude on the other has brought us near to the brink of extinction through a global act of accidental self-mockery. The world isn't mad over cartoons. The world is a cartoon.
I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to take. The people run in circles. It's a very, very mad.
So what does this have to do with a postmodern pilgrimage of faith? Quite a lot, really. I think the real news of what is going on with this controversy is actually found on the blogs and on the net, not really in the press. Controversy and tolerance are the hallmarks of the Western press. Talking honestly about spirituality and religion is not. In a postmodern world, the net is the great equalizer where people have the freedom to speak without restraints, and where you can call crazy people crazy, Christian, Muslim, secular, or otherwise. The challenge that we're facing right now is, are we really willing, are we really ready to wrestle with the dramatic issues of faith, religion, and real life? And consider that reason and even God might be taking us to a new place if the world we live on is to survive, if we are to survive instead of killing ourselves in the name of the Creator. Harris takes up the postmodern call to not just be understanding and tolerant of others and their beliefs, but to really put them to the test, to recognize that the spiritual seeds of hope are laced with the seeds of madness from an ancient world that have no place in our present or in our future, if there is to be one. I have to admit, it scares me, this line of reasoning. It scares me as a pastor, it scares me as a Christian, as a father and a husband, and as a human being. But I think in the Western religious world, we have played the role of a tolerant Neville Chamberlain to our inner religious Hitlers. And I mean that not so much personified in individuals, but in actions that make excuses for destructive behaviors in the name of religious tolerance. And the hope that everyone is reasonable, and that reasonable people will come around to rational and spiritual thought. It's all there in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, ancient wisdom that gets passed off as rational fact. in modern religions like Scientology, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Hale-Bopp Comet suicide cult are really no different. There is something in us that causes us to take a leap of faith. And even Harris admits that is not a bad thing. It's just that sometimes that leap is right off a cliff into the abyss. I'm going to do a two-parter on this discussion. I haven't finished the book yet, and clearly the cartoon controversy is not going to end anytime soon. But the deeper question is, are we ready to continue to ask the hard questions of faith in this country? Questions that can grow us rather than destroy us. So, more on this book next week and this whole controversy. I'll do a little more searching on the net as far as what people are saying on the blogs about it. So I suggest you would do the same and let me know what you think. That's Wired Jesus for this week. I have links to Sam Harris's webpage and on my reading list that has a link to Amazon. So if you want to buy the book through my Amazon store and throw a little cred my way, that'd be great. I also have links to the other folks that I mentioned as well. Take the time to read through them. Like I said, take the time to check out the book from your library or buy it yourself and post your comments on the blog. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg on this issue of religion in the 21st century. But in all honesty, it's the type of discussion I really started Wired Jesus for in the first place. So no matter where you are coming from, Christian, Muslim, person of faith, agnostic, atheist, you know, whatever, this is a discussion that affects everyone who is a human being. So I'm glad you're a part of it. So thanks for walking with Wired Jesus this week, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee. Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.